Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans, the 13th chapter, and we're going to continue our study from the book of Romans as we conclude the 13th chapter of this great book as we look at some incredible verses that speak to us personally and individually about loving each other, because the hour is late. The title of the message is Wake Up, and it's a double entendre this morning. Every time you hear the phrase wake up, I'm giving you the title of the message, but also trying to wake you up. The Apostle Paul says that as Christians, sometimes we fall asleep when we should be awake. And in the text that we're about to read, there is a heavenly alarm clock that sounds. Paul says, wake up. Let's stand together as we read beginning in verse 11 of Romans 13. And that, the NIV says, doing this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Now let me set the context before we continue. Paul has told us that we're to love each other as ourselves. That's our high calling. I am to love you, you are to love me, by seeking and doing what is best for each other. That's the context. And do this, knowing that it's high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Thank you. You may be seated. Our heavenly commander is sounding the bugle. He is telling you and he is telling me, it is time to wake up. No more sleeping. Start loving each other the way that I've called and empowered you to love one another. Now, there are three reasons given to us in this text as to why you and I ought to love each other, to seek and to do what is best for one another. Three reasons given. Number one, the day of our salvation is approaching. Verse 11 says that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. He says it is high time to awake out of sleep because of that. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? The day of your salvation. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher, I was saved a long time ago. Well, you probably need a refresher course on how the Bible uses the term the day of salvation. There are four different ways that the Bible views your day of salvation. First, from eternity. In other words, there is a sense in which you could say that you were saved from eternity. Your salvation transcends time. God the Father gave his children to Christ, and his Son acted as our surety or our guarantor. Thus, when Revelation 13:8 tells us that Christ died before the foundation of the world, it's simply reminding us that because God saves us, and because God is eternal, our salvation is from eternity. That's one way you could view salvation. Second, you could view the day of your salvation as a day that comes at faith. This is the way most of you probably see your salvation or the day of your salvation. When you first believed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you call that the day of your salvation. And you were saved when you were young. You have a hard time remembering the day you first came to faith in Jesus Christ. But the vast majority of us view the day of our salvation in terms of when we first came to faith in Christ. And it's biblical to do that. But there's a third way the Bible views the day of our salvation, and it's at death. The Bible often calls death gain or profit for the believer. It is a blessing for the follower of Jesus Christ, but it is a curse for the non-Christian. Therefore, if a believer dies in Christ, that is the day of his salvation from the curse of death. Now, I frankly believe that is the day that Paul is talking about in our text. He is saying, wake up. Start loving each other the way you love yourself. Seek and do what is best for one another. Because the day of your salvation, i.e., the day of your death, is much nearer than when you first believed. And what Paul is saying is simply this: the best reason you have to love one another is the reason of the day of your salvation is approaching, the day of your death. And you're not going to have a U-Haul behind your hearse. You're not going to take with you any possessions. You will take to heaven relationships with people. You will take to heaven that person that you loved enough and cared enough about to share Christ with. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about what heaven will be like. And it's amazing to think that heaven is a place where people just enjoy one another. Here on earth, we kind of hide and we like our privacy, and there's all kinds of envy and sin and all that stuff that gets built in to relationships, and it's hard to get to know somebody really well. Oh, but in heaven, that's all gone. And Paul says, wake up. Start loving those people God puts in your path. Start seeking and doing what is best for them, because the day of your death is fast approaching. There's a fourth way that the Bible views the day of our salvation, and it's at judgment. It's what Jesus called the wrath to come. It is also called the second coming of Christ. There is a sense in which, when everyone stands before the judgment seat of Christ, those who are in Christ are saved from the judgment, from the wrath to come. And there are those who believe that Paul is talking about in this text a coming of Christ that has not yet occurred. Others believe that Paul may be speaking about a coming that is at hand, verse 12, meaning that it was to occur in just a few years, in 70 AD, when Jesus Christ came in judgment upon the land of Israel. All of us, however, can agree that each of us is closer today to our death than yesterday. And all he's saying is this: wake up. Wake up. Has God given you somebody? Has somebody crossed your path? Wake up. Seek and do what is best for them. But there's a second reason why Paul challenges us to wake up, to love one another. It's not only the day of our salvation is approaching, but our text says there is a darkness that is in our society. So wake up. Look at it. It's found in verse 12, where he says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul then goes on in verse 13, and he compares and contrasts the lives of those who are in Christ, that is, in the light, and those who are not in Christ, that is, who live in darkness. Now, young people, listen to me very, very carefully. I mean, if you hear nothing for the next year, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. In verse 13, Paul is calling for you to wake up and to cast off works of darkness as a Christian and to put on Christ and walk in the armor of light. And there are three specific things that he says regarding the works of darkness. Number one, drinking and partying. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. What our culture calls having fun, God calls the conduct of a depraved heart. He calls drinking and partying works of darkness. And what Paul is saying is this: wake up! Cast that off. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked reading some of the internet diaries in preparation for today's message. They're called blogs. And I am amazed at what college students are now saying in their blogs for public perusal. One particular diary said, "It is not uncommon at the college where this young man attends for his co-eds, his fellow students, to get drunk at least 3 times a week." The Apostle Paul says, wake up! Have nothing to do with that. It is works of darkness. Cast it off and put on the armor of light, because your society needs it. They're in darkness. The president of Oklahoma Baptist University was sharing with me a study that he had read about college students at Stanford University. These students had done a survey among their own fellow students and other universities across the nation. And of those young people who called themselves evangelical Christians, who went to secular universities and for 4 years entered into habitual drinking among their peers, at the end of those 4 years, over half of those evangelical college students had renounced their faith in Christ. What Paul is saying is simply this: wake up. You are in a society that says partying and drinking is where it's at. That is nothing but works of darkness. And God has set you apart. He's made you one of His. And you are to put on the armor of light. And you are to walk in this society as a person who knows the truth and casts off those things that people call fun. By the way, ask yourself this question: if people are really having that much fun getting stoned drunk and partying, why are they so full of misery all the other times? You see, the Bible tells us that sin leads to only misery and unhappiness. And the fact of the matter is, one of the reasons why college students are drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking is because they're miserable. And they drink to feel better. And Paul is saying, don't be fooled. You are the one who has the key to true happiness. You are the one who understands the importance of loving people and doing what is right and what is best and seeking and doing what the other person needs. Walk in the light. Second, Paul says sexual immorality and seductions characterize those who are veiled in darkness. That's found there in verse 13. The King James uses the old words, chambering and wantonness. Literally, this means seducing people for sexual acts and involving yourself in sexual immorality. Again, our culture says this is how you have fun. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration of God, says, no, wake up. This is not loving people at all. This is simply finding yourself deceived like everybody else. Wake up and live your life by putting on Christ and walking in the light and casting off the works of darkness. My heart went out to that young 18-year-old woman who went to Hollywood to make her fortune. She entered the pornography business, and our culture is so saturated with pornography. It is so saturated with sexual immorality. In fact, one of the reasons why the prison scandal occurred in Iraq is because our young Marines and our young Army men and women, they have been so infiltrated with pornography. And if you notice it, what they did is it was nothing but pornographic. I talked to some men from our church who fought in the great wars, World War II, men who were in charge of prisoners, in charge of interrogation, psychologists and psychiatrists from our own church. And I asked them, did you ever do anything like that? No. No. Oh, sure, we'll get information. Sure, we'll make life uncomfortable. Sure, we'll keep people awake. Sure, we'll keep noise loud in their face. Oh, but nothing like that. Why are we there? Our culture is dark. And Paul says, cast that off. This young girl who went to Hollywood to make her fortune got involved in pornography. She was encouraged to have unprotected sex to make a movie. She would get $500 more for doing that. She now has AIDS, and the day of her death is approaching. What this young girl needs is for a young person to stand up and live for Christ and say, I don't condemn you for what you did. In fact, I love you enough to tell you the truth and to share Christ with you. A person who's honest enough to say, I'm bent the same way you are. But you know, I found a person who's given me freedom from that. And I found true happiness apart from the party scene. That's what that young lady needs. And Paul says it's high time for God's people to wake up. Instead of pursuing that and thinking that's where it's at and that's what having fun is all about, Paul says, no, no, cast that off. These folks are empty and they're veiled in darkness, and they need somebody like you to stand up and walk in the light and show the path. This is what Paul is saying. Wake up. Third, he speaks of strife and envy, desiring what others have and fighting to get it. Paul says, people around you are trapped in the quicksand of wanting things and wanting what somebody else has. That's a work of darkness. Cast it off. Have you ever wondered why our culture imitates Hollywood? Our culture imitates Hollywood because people want to be like Hollywood. You want to look like Britney. You want to look like Christie. You want to look like the stars. Paul says, wake up. You don't need that. They need you. Are you getting the message yet? This is what Paul is saying. You're a Christian. You have been called. Your high calling is to love people around you, to seek and do what is best. Now, how do you do that? You do that by not becoming what they are. You do that by showing them what they could be through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, walk, live, act like who you are. There's a final thing that I see in this text. Not only does Paul say, cast off the works of darkness and love one another because the day of our salvation is fast approaching and the darkness of our society demands it. They need it. But the deceptiveness of our souls compels us to wake up. Here's what Paul is saying. Look at verse 13. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Two or three things Paul says about this wake-up call and the deceptiveness of your own soul. He says, be honest. Be honest about the struggle. A graced person, young people, a graced person is not a person who is perfect. Not at all. A graced person is an honest person. Let us walk honestly by being able to say the struggle to move into sexual immorality is as real in our hearts. The battle against wanting to become drunk like our friends is as real in our hearts as anybody else. We're not saying it's not a temptation. That's foolish. Yes, we know Christ. Yes, we're graced. But there's a battle going on within us. Be honest. He says, second, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, young people, because you realize it is a battle, and because God has saved you, and now you're living in a dark society, and you have a soul that remains deceptive, every morning when you get up, put on Christ. Dr. John Gill, the great theologian who believed in the doctrines of grace, said this about this verse. As a man puts on his clothes when he rises in the morning, put on Christ. To not only place faith on Him as the Lord of righteousness, but to imitate Him, to walk as He walked in love, meekness, patience, humility, and holiness. Paul is saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up, realize you're on a mission. You don't need the world. The world needs you. Now walk as light in the midst of darkness. Put on Christ. And don't be ashamed for who you are. But then he closes by saying this. Make not provision for the flesh. The New International Version says, don't think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Two things about verse 14 that I think are very important, young people, for you to remember. Number one, all Christians find desires within that run contrary to Christ's revealed will. Don't you dare think that you're not a child of God because you have an urge to view pornography. Don't you dare think that you're not a child of God because you are tempted to go out and party with your friends and to get drunk. No. No. Paul says, make not provision for the flesh. He assumes the flesh is there. He assumes the temptation is there. Don't think about how to gratify it. So, we can assume this. It is not the desire, but the making provision for it that is the sin. Now, let's see if we can't put everything together that Paul has said. It's very simple. God has saved you, and He has given you a mission. You are to love the people that God brings into your path as you love yourself. You are to love them. Now do this, verse 11, love them because the day of your death is approaching. It's high time to awake. Love them because they're in darkness. Cast off their works. Walk in the light, by putting on the armor of light. Don't get involved with their drunkenness and their partying. Don't get involved in their sexual immorality. Don't get involved in their envy and their strife. Don't condemn them for it. That's where they're at. But don't involve yourself. Wake up. They need you. And realize that you will be tempted. You're my child, God says. I love you. But you'll be pulled. Make not provision for the flesh. The sin is not the temptation nor the pulling. Be honest about the struggle. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind yourself whose you are and who you represent. And don't make provision for the flesh. Don't think about how to fulfill the temptation that is contrary to the will of God for your life. You may need some help. You know what? Myself, the other pastors, we'd love to help you. We'd love to help you. Your mom and dad, they'd love to help you. But young people, listen to me. If you ought to memorize any verses in Scripture for the next few months, I believe it ought to be these. Because this world needs people who stand for Christ and His righteousness without haughtiness or condemnation, but a true, heartfelt sense of love for the people who are veiled in darkness. May God give you the grace to live like this in a society that needs you.